Our first reader is Celeste Adame Muckleshoot, also an incredible poet and person and friend. She holds a Master of Fine Arts in Poetry from the Institute of American Indian Arts in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Her thesis, Lover's Landscape, explores gender identity, sexuality, love, basketball, landscapes of both Washington and New Mexico. She has been published in Yellow Medicine Review, As Us, a journal for women of the world, Hinchas de Poesía, Connotation Press, and Santa Fe Literary Review. She was also one of the poetry editors for the first two editions of Mud City, the online literary review of the Institute of American Indian Arts Low Residency MFA program. Please welcome Celeste Adame.
I have this thing when I'm writing poems. I like to draw boxes. And you'll see that I like to keep my poems in boxes, which is an interesting thing for me because before I went to IA, I didn't know anything about Cesoras or any of that other stuff. This one's called Ars Poetica. Words filtered through water, an instance of you slipping from bedsheets, unwrapped, a present for me to fill out as we are, your head on my shoulder. Rocks become ocean's shoelace as they leave my hands. Stars paint constellations of tomorrow on ceilings made of chalkboards painted royal purple, drip into red. Seek out paintbrushes, remove handle, use fingers, paint, sunlight outside window, raindrops explode from sky, follow fourth star to find trail of discarded dresses disguised as poems, maybe marbled ashes, maybe supernova. And that's actually one of the very few poems that I've written since I left the MFA program. I promise I'll get back to work on that eventually. This one's called Shots Missed. As Natalie said, my thesis has a lot about basketball and gender identity and stuff like that. And for people who don't know me, I've got six kids at home, well, like 10, 12, maybe 12 sometimes. And a lot of them call me dad, even though I'm a woman, so. Shots missed. The nets have stopped swaying from all the shots we missed, all the games we never finished. It all comes back to me, staring at the backboard of my childhood court. If the hook shot that I taught her did not shut the crowd up before hitting glass, dropping in without touching the rim, if I didn't remember, none of us wanted to defend the Pendleton guard. She had a smile on her face and it made us feel uncomfortable. I learned the coach wasn't lying when she said, it is all in the wrist. The feeling, I figured out how to spin the ball, maneuver it behind my back while dribbling between my legs, dancing with you in the game, on the court. It was the only time we could touch in public. Had I never picked up a basketball, didn't learn the curves of her body were made for my hands, a poor dribble gets the ball stolen, and I am taking the last second jumper. This one's called Dream in Different Languages, and originally there's some parts of it in Spanish, but since I don't speak Spanish, I didn't want to embarrass myself tonight. I need some distraction from the thoughts in my head. I dream in different languages. She speaks to me. I come to you in a whisper on repeat. Wake up whispering into the fan's breeze. Pick your picture from my wallet to trace the smile on your face. Close my eyes and watch our basketball games in middle school where we were made to play on carpet and lost. In the language of my grandfather, foreign to me, you tell me we will see one another again. And all I want is one more night. We shared the tequila rose with you and left you alone with Uncle. Red roses keep you company. Distraction from our lives kept us away from one another, where you found solace in dances and slanging cocaine, and I pushed for with school, writing you in the margins of my paper, take with you a piece of my heart. And this next poem is actually true. This happened November, about 15 years ago. It was an interesting night, let's just say. Nothing on the first night. And this one was published in As Us, which is actually a journal that Cassandra helped find, or helped found one. She asked me to walk to the end of the ocean, outstretched hands hold a single grain of sand. We would magnify this on closer inspection. See, this is all we needed to prove. Though books have been written between you and I, they had nothing on the first night we went out as a couple, how we neglected to bring enough money or a decent coat to keep us warm, the walk down Wantabo to Central, where we'd stop at 7 to 11 to warm up, sharing small coffee and hot dog. Back in cold, we held hands, peering to drivers, hoping someone would pick us up. Arriving to Greyhound, neither had the energy nor the desire to run and stop the bus to Santa Fe. We fell asleep on the benches, not caring how we looked upon arrival to campus. We fell onto your twin-size bed and slept until dinner. Two. You walked into class as the soft-spoken teacher brought us through a maze of nonsensical numbers. I looked at you momentarily and my pen fell from my fingers on the table where I'd stare, because if I didn't, I would have gotten lost. Air surrounding you and the small smile you'd have when you were confused. The two of us made up a fifth of the class. And though not a single word escaped our lips to one another, I held conversations with you in the back of my mind. I noticed the sun felt different on my skin when I left class that day on my walk back to my room, where I fell into my bed and thought about you and how I wished I knew your name. Santa Ana's sent tumbleweeds past my dorm window. I'd stare past guys playing basketball, hoping to catch a glimpse of you. I found you one night, sleeping on the love seat in the computer lab. Three, I woke to find the ring I removed, or the ring I'd given you removed, placed on a cloud. We slow danced to music. And these next four are from this thought that I had of writing 15 sonnets, and it's really hard to publish something that long, I've learned. This one, it's what it's called is We Follow Water. I mean, as you saw, water is something that I just absolutely love. I find a border, an imaginary line etched the length of her body. I trace with fingers a centimeter above her skin, a force field, her fingers against my lips, her toes contract with each stroke. Between my fingers, this from dusk till dawn arrangement, we share words. Through red tattoo gun, across arm, where your release becomes more than stream of tumbleweed, an explosion opinions, sunset silhouetted, waterfall trickles, fingers, clouds wiped away while walking. Her hand clutches my elbow, her head on shoulder. Needles into her skin. She turns. Snoqualmie Fall meets Sangre de Cristo. And this was the opening sonnet for that. We go down a couple more. Flesh was a lie I spent a lifetime chasing. Let her be the story I cannot bear to repeat again. How she chased her, and I stood there waiting to be noticed. Sunlight hidden behind mountains, floating above fog blanket, covering piers of Seattle's waterfront. From the shore of Lake Mescalero, watch for trout right below surface, and she has become baseline I chase through different songs and genres. She is hidden in earbuds waiting for me. Through silence, I find her while sleeping. My eyes will not open when I see her in my dreams. I cannot swallow words quick enough, even after eating cans of alphabet soup. She becomes tattooed beneath skin, right in front of me daily. I see her name. She's searching, burning through cedar, another silhouette of us, from bodies through emergence, Snoqualmie Falls. Burning through cedar, another silhouette of us, from bodies through emergent, Snoqualmie Falls, chases erosion, becomes life again. We smoke salmon in high desert at daylight, run to the plaza where we sit and write poems back and forth through one another through text messages of sighs. Leave you landscapes we've never tasted. She will find my heart escaping, orca pod gathered beyond Elliott Bay. Each beat will release single letters of alphabet. Pigeons fly past in search of gunpowder used to make fireworks erupting. We arrive with the tide, mixing ancients with iPhone, potlatches with podiums, hand drums with a loop sample, longhouses with basketball courts. iPhone potlatches with podiums, hand drums with looped sample, longhouses with basketball court. We battle inland past cattails where she sat with me, cross-legged. She finally told me her name, Autumn. She took my hand and led me to the mountain where the river begins with melting snowfall at dawn. Where daybreak waits inside a bentwood box and raven turns into a pine needle to be swallowed, to impregnate a virgin, to steal the sun and release him into the sky where animals will not walk upright anymore. We stand to swallow constellations and ride the river home. I will not let her go as I whisper these words. I find a border, an imaginary line etched the length of her body. I trace with finger. And this one is the one that actually ends my thesis, Prelude to a New Girlfriend, which actually kind of worked out because I was in a really bad spot when I wrote this one. One, bleeding heart petals, rubbed stomach, leave scent for her to follow. Ruby ring waits. Paintbrush sits in palette. Sky is uncolored canvas left out, a painter's forgotten masterpiece. Two, the way your hair falls, a meteor waterfall. When sky emerges from behind trees, trails of Milky Way become river, leading me back to where I told you this is emergence. This is where our story began to unfold, water map in high desert. 3. Like salmon, I will always return to the base of the waterfall where we took our first bath, to the lake created by man, where you told me it looked like a war zone after the fireworks show, to the ocean where I threw the basketball because I did not know what I wanted, to water where words, even in their sleep, never stop flowing. This is where we shh them with pursed lips and fingers, leave them counting uno, dos, tres, before become monarch before she walks away, land on rubber band of her ponytail, a piece of parchment, and a dried up inkwell. Thank you.